Discussion with Roger Tulsa's counterintelligence specialist and surveillance. Microwave weapons, that's one of the things. Electromagnetic fields can be potentially hazardous to your health. Go up to the coasttocoastam.com website. Take a look at the feature story that Lex has provided for you. In a moment, we'll be back with Roger Tulsis. We're also going to talk about the incredible 1984 prophecies based on George Orwell's 1949 book, 1984. Back in a moment. Roger Tulsis is a Los Angeles private investigator specializing in electronic countermeasures. In the past 30 years, he has swept more than 2,500 locations for bugs and wiretaps. And in recent years, his business has included helping victims of electronic harassment and mind control. Electronic harassment takes place if someone uses any electronic device to aid them in invading your person or property for the purpose of gathering information illegally or for the purpose of causing physical harm to you or your family. Mr. Tulsis uses more than $100,000 of high-tech equipment to try to identify the sources of electronic harassment. He's our special guest tonight on Coast to Coast. Roger, welcome back. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. How are you?
Hey, George, always great to surf the electronic waves with you.
I enjoy going to your website all the time. You've always got some neat things on that. How do you keep up with it so quickly?
Well, it's very difficult because things are going so quickly, and especially in the area of computers, you know, and that's the difficult part. The speed in which the intelligence levels are going up, and interestingly enough, there are people that believe that the surveillance is directly in proportion with the sophistication of the chips that are being developed.
And you know what? And that could very well be the case. And I don't think it's going to stop. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. But what happens, Roger, on the day the government starts it, of course, a little voluntary? Somebody called me a couple days ago, talked about a store that is getting money out of your bank account via your fingerprint. They come in, they buy stuff, they just put their fingerprint on a device, it reads it. They've obviously registered so they know who and where their bank is. And the caller told me people are signing up in droves for this. Why?
Well, I'm assuming that they're just scared of having their identity stolen, and they figured that's going to be the next step. But, you know, as you start handing over our fingerprints and our irises and the rest of our bio information, you know, we're just going another level down into the George Orwell 1984 scenario.
Do you think that we will be compelled to put chips in our systems, in our hands, in our arms, wherever they're going to be?
Well, I think that originally they're going to try to sell that to us by when our children are born in the hospital saying, well, you know, if you allow us to put this chip in, then your child will never be stolen. There'll never be a point where we can't find that child. The identity of the child will never be altered. So there's a lot of people that are going to just say, oh, sure, just go ahead and zap it right in there, and that's fine with me, just like they issue Social Security numbers at birth in the hospitals at this time.
Do you believe that we are moving closer to a true Big Brother society, or is it just a figment of so many of our imaginations?
No, absolutely. I think we're moving at lightning speed. I was remembering that we haven't been on the air together in about a year, and just look at the tremendous advances in surveillance that have taken place, especially with these controversies relating to the NSA. And I really want to spend some time talking about exactly what's going on with that and data mining being the thing that I don't think a lot of people understand. But data mining is truly a horrible power that the government is taking over. And, of course, nobody really knows what it is. And the legislators have tried to stop it to some degree. But I don't think, certainly in the case of the NSA, it can't be regulated at this time because of these problems with the presidential powers.
When George Orwell wrote the book 1984, I always remembered just that date, even when I was a kid. And when we got to 1984, then we surpassed it, and here we are now 22 years later. Did he miss the mark by his dates, or do you think it was pretty right on?
Well, you have to remember that he wrote the book in 1949. And in 1949, television had barely come on the scene. He, of course, was an Englishman, and so I can only speak from my experience that back in the area of New York where I was growing up, television just barely was on for a few hours a day in 49. They had, you know, shows in the afternoon and some of the early evenings. So television in and of itself was a very, at the beginning stages. And, of course, in his book, he talks about his primary character named Winston Smith. And Winston Smith, as we start in the book there, is in his home, and he has what's known as a telescreen on his wall. And the telescreen in the book was not only a screen that would bring in propaganda from the government, from Big Brother himself, about what was going on in the political world, but it had a camera in it, and it would be 24/7 surveillance on you in your home, and it did have a sound capability as well.
The things that he talked about, of course, Winston put together all his diary work. And, you know, it was about Big Brother, surveillance, old world destruction, a new world order. How did he see all this?
Well, he himself was a government employee. You might remember that he worked at the Ministry of Truth. And basically, he was a bureaucrat that was there to rewrite history. Because the way their Big Brother Society was set up is that if anything that had been in the past that was contradictory to the political philosophy currently, his job was to go back in the archives of the newspapers and things and alter the history of things to match the political agenda of the current leadership.
Era. Yeah.
And so it actually, in the book, it says, there's a quotation, he says, if all the records told the same tale, then the lie would be passed into history and become the truth.
How true.
Yeah.
How true. What are you seeing in terms of those prophecies of that era, 1984, that book?
Well, there's a lot of it that's coming true. First of all, the surveillance aspect. And there's a couple of quotes in the book here that are particularly, this fellow was extremely enlightened. Even though he didn't have the technological knowledge, he definitely did understand where the technologies would be heading over time. And at one point here, he talks in the book about face crime. I thought this was particularly interesting because, you know, now we have these surveillance cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And the surveillance cameras have the ability to take our bio measurements and actually take this picture and put you in a database. You know, they do it in Las Vegas. They've got scanned databases of all the people that have ever been accused of being cheaters. And when you walk into a Las Vegas gambling casino now, you're rescanned. And if there's a matchup, then they send people right down to divert you out of the building. Because they don't want any, you know, cheaters there.
They match you up, and voila, down they come, rushing.
Yeah. It's interesting. Listen to what George Orwell said about face crime. He says here, it was terribly dangerous to let your thoughts wander when you were in any public place or within range of a telescreen. The small thing could give you away. A nervous tick, an unconscious look of anxiety, a habit of muttering to yourself, anything that carried with it the suggestive abnormality of having something to hide, in any case, to wear an improper expression on your face, to look incredulous, especially when a victory was announced, for example, was itself a punishable offense. It was even a word for it in newspeak called face crime.
You know, Roger, the episodes of his book, 1984, which we're beginning to see happen very rapidly now, echo, I think, a lot of things that the Patriot Act is going to try to do to us and everything else. I have always said we don't need the Patriot Act first. And two, had law enforcement been allowed to act on its hunches and the things it was finding prior to 9/11, we never would have needed the Patriot Act.
Well, yeah, you know, and the thing so disturbing about the Patriot Act is that all 500 pages of it or so were already prepared, ready to go, and fast-tracked through, and we don't think that there's many representatives that really actually took the time to read it. So it's a little scary to think that something like this could be just there to institute a no level of control over the people.
It's the mentality that also bothers me. Let's spend some time now on the NSA surveillance of United States citizens, which I understand has not at all found any terrorist or anything that they can use. Now, maybe they're not saying anything, but I've read a couple of stories that said they haven't found anything on anybody. What's the purpose of all this?
Well, the purpose is data mining. And, of course, this is where things get most serious. You have to remember that the NSA, which has unlimited black budgets, has a computer facility that has supercomputers that are the size of several football fields. And as a consequence, it has the capacities to monitor traffic not only in terms of spoken word and communications traffic over talking lines, but also all of your ISP transmissions as well. And part of the big story that came out around February 6th or so, because I'm looking at the New York Times article, it says here, telecoms let NSA spy on calls. AT&T, MCI, Sprint cooperate with warrantless surveillance. Now, what this means is that at those major switching centers, these companies, without a court order, gave links back to the NSA. In other words, they gave network feeds directly to the computers at the NSA.
They could have balked. They could have fought it. It could have been a court battle, but they decided not to.
Well, it should have been a court battle, because listen to what the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution says about this kind of thing. Now, this is our Bill of Rights. Under searches, seizures, and warrants, it says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall be issued but upon probable cause supported by oath and affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Now, if you are vacuum cleaning all the communications in America in terms of spoken word and ISP, email, and all transactions going on the internet, and you are using supercomputers to suck up keywords, both spoken and written, then you are surveilling without probable cause. You do not have any particular individual in mind. You don't. That's one of the reasons that they are not getting warrants, because how can you get a warrant if, in fact, you are data mining?
Right.
Looking for these particular terms and words and anything else that would be questionable, and then sucking that particular individual's ISP address, his email address, or his telephone, and then linking on it on a permanent basis.
It just bothers me so much that our rights are being whittled away. And I got an email once when I was talking about this from someone who said, George, I don't care if they spy on me because I know I'm not doing anything wrong. So if it leads to catching a terrorist, so be it. I'm all for this. And that bothers me that somebody would have that attitude because he's not looking at the real picture.
Well, you can see what the founding fathers' intent for the country was when you read that Fourth Amendment. They wanted to make sure that anybody that was going to invade your privacy in any manner was going to have a reason to do so. They would need that probable cause, and it had to be supported by an oath or an affirmation. Somebody had to swear that you were doing something wrong in order to get a judicial officer to sign a document that would be allow the police to invade your privacy, be it wiretaps or any other form of breaking and entering or surveillance, gross gross surveillance, things like putting GPS units on automobiles, things like that.
It seems to me, Roger, that the Bill of Rights has been superseded by the Patriot Act, and that those in government believe that that's okay and that's legal.
Well, the main thing is that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and the president can't trump it, and the Supreme Court can't trump it, and Congress can't trump it. But it's interesting. There's a cartoon that I picked out of the newspaper. I got a couple of cartoons that relate to the subject. There's a picture of a newscaster sitting there with his video screen, you know, a picture of the Capitol, and he says, news, he says, admit, and he's saying over the air, amid concerns that it would weaken the Patriot Act, the Senate today refused to renew the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, but you know what? That could happen.
Well, they're not doing much about it, and of course, that, of course, is not the only part of the Constitution that's getting crushed. Here's another NSA cartoon. There's an NSA black ops guy sitting there on headphones, and he's holding a Grammy, and the title says, "And the Grammy for the most recordings of the year goes to the NSA."
I love it.
Two more cartoons. Another one. Here's Uncle Sam walking up in the middle of a shopping center to a Sprint, AT&T, and MCI booth. And the guy sitting behind the booth is showing him a telephone he wants to sell him. And his name, he says Gonzalez on there, which, you know, would be the attorney general. And Gonzalez says to Uncle Sam, he says, plus it comes with unlimited anytime surveillance minutes. Last one is the father sitting with the son, and the father's reading the newspaper. Newspaper title says, Bush defends wiretaps. And the young man's fellow is about 5 years old, reading his civics book. And he says, Dad, if Washington, D.C. were the 51st state, what would it be called? And the father turns and says, a police state.
I love it.
And
how true is all that stuff?
Yeah.
Roger, it is coming. Tell us a little bit. You believe the Patriot Act could also affect the economy. How?
Well, you know something, anytime you end up putting these kind of surveillances in position and in place, you are causing tremendous amounts of money to be spent. If we were to look at the TSA and the amounts of money that these organizations have spent to try to secure these surveillances and the borders and the financial cost of 9/11 alone is really kind of what I'm talking about, these responses. And, of course, you have a war here that's going, they say it's going to be up in the trillions. But particularly when you start to put all these surveillance devices in place, you start wiring cameras all over America, they are going to start having to put super high-tech equipment in these shipping yards, because these containers coming in can contain nuclear materials. And they're having a terrible time when these materials are broken down into small amounts and are put in shielded enclosures.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they're out in the nuclear test areas out in Las Vegas attempting to figure out what kind of equipment will actually work if these materials do come shielded in these containers. And at the moment, they're not having much success.
And, of course, they're going to let a company that has a direct involvement with the Chinese military, they're going to let them inspect some of this in the Bahamas. Doesn't make any sense. We'll be back with more with Roger Tulsis on Coast to Coast AM. Well, you will find the Digicam icon right there near a feature article on the coasttocoastam.com website. You will see a picture of my dying plant, Bertha. Yep. Tom's job, of course, producer Tom, was to take care of Bertha while I was in St. Louis so I could return to a healthy plant like it was when I left. Tom has been a little lax in his job, and Bertha is dying. As a matter of fact, you can see proof of that under the Digicam icon again at coasttocoastam.com. What I'm going to ask you to do, because it's somewhat simple and it's harmless, is for you to all put your minds together and maybe, just maybe, the collective consciousness with this experiment can save Bertha from the fate that I'm afraid will occur within the next few days. and just give it your best shot, because if we don't do it, I think it's history for the plant that has been with me since I've been in Los Angeles. Back in a moment. Take us through data mining. Exactly what is it? What are they doing with it? Who came up with it?
Yeah, well, as far as the NSA data mining, you're talking about the ability to mine words. And so in that particular case, as you pipeline all the communications in America going in and out, and the internal ones, because we're finding out that these by these articles that the switches were accessed as well, in these primary carriers, in the AT&T, MCI, and Sprint corporations. And what happens is you end up looking for keywords. So, you know, anything to do with bomb or any of the other words that would be relevant to terrorist activities or subversive activities. And, of course, the way these machines work is once they see those words come across, they will then take that whole conversation or that whole data feed and move it to a hard drive. And, of course, the hard drive would be on one of these large supercomputers. And then they would further data mine all that to be able to go in and determine the density of the particular information. In other words, if, let's say that we've collected more information than any human being could ever look at. Imagine if you're vacuum cleaning all the communications in America in and out. So they would use something like data visualization. And so the way that works is that data visualization is a program to create a three-dimensional map showing the words as hills on a landscape. High peaks mean the words appear more frequently, and closer peaks mean the words are related in some fashion. So that's a data mining tool right there. So what you're doing is then sifting down, but that's only the beginning, because data mining isn't just the NSA. You also have the phone companies these days, and there was an article that I just looked at here. It said the biggest databases approach 30 terabytes.
That's huge.
Yeah, it says here that AT&T, as an example, is keeping all the telephone information. Says here, a year ago, AT&T began on its security call analysis and management platform, which is called SCAMP, S-C-A-M-P, the database for 2 years of detailed data on calls in its communications network, rather than 6 months. Now, this is just one company. That means that if you called long distance, because these days a lot of these switches interconnect, that your call information may still be sitting out there in some mega computer.
Who's listening to this beyond the computer? I mean, we're talking about millions and millions of people in the United States that are using computers, using cell phones, using landlines, millions of people.
Right.
And I'm sure in those conversations, a lot of people are saying some things that they don't mean, but they may be saying it in a fit of anger, whatever the reason, Roger.
Yes, I understand.
What happens to all those sounds, those voices?
If they're important enough, they get to an analyst, and the analyst would then make sure that the system vacuum cleaned everything that you did. So, but here, let's just look at what's going on over in China for a second. This gives you some scenario where we could be headed.
All right.
This is USA Today, Monday, April 3rd. This is a couple of days ago. The headline was, Web Users Walk Great Firewall of China. It says, Internet controls, restrictions, use, or is it use or protecting people? Beijing, clad in jeans, a denim student, a student in denim jacket, blah, blah, blah. It says here, he's in an internet cafe. He says here, most people who come here are like me, says a 23-year-old economics major. They play games or chat. But every keystroke website, however innocent, is recorded. Moves by himself and his friends are fed into a nationwide surveillance system used to block thousands of websites and track down anyone posting material that offends the government authorities. It says further that China's internet controls have been the source of discomfort for U.S. companies such as Yahoo, Microsoft, and Google, who've been the ones that actually assisted them putting in these restrictions and these surveillance settings. It says here that they use Internet Detective, which is a surveillance software that is made here in the United States. It says that the Internet Police, they're actually, they list that there is a number here of how many people are sitting there in the government. It says here, China has roughly 30,000 Internet Police who use Internet Detectives and other tools to monitor web users.
30,000 people.
30,000 monitoring people to watch the Internet as it operates, and, of course, just not themselves directly, but if you run something through your computer is going to snitch on you because Microsoft, Google, Yahoo have given this government the ability to surveil people and snitch out the ones that are going to places that the government doesn't like on their computers. Now, what I find amusing about this is that you hear the president talking about how we're going to bring democracy to the rest of the world. Our whole intent is to assist any nations that want to move towards democracy. But then you say, well, now, wait a second. Here are these major computer suppliers, both software and hardware, assisting China in subverting the people.
How can we stop this, Roger?
Well, that's a very good question, because until the people get outraged, I don't think much is going to happen. And you know what's really amazing is I've been over here in California, and in the past week or so, I've seen all these Latino people out marching around about this immigration bill that they don't care for. In my local area here, there's about 500 people have been in the streets in front of City Hall for the past week or so. But you know something? The NSA moves forward to tap all our telephones without warrants, and surveillance keeps increasing, but nobody is upset. Nobody's taking to the streets.
Nobody's taking to the streets. It's almost as if the mindset of Americans simply is, oh, well, we're getting shafted again, and government's just going to do what it's going to do. I wonder what would happen had this occurred 20 years ago, 40 years ago, if Americans would just be outraged at what's going on.
It's amazing to me that that everything is just kind of sliding at the rate at which it is. And, of course, you know, the data mining can go a lot deeper than that, because, as an example, what happens if all your credit reports become available on a data mining basis, or all your phone calls? What about your health records? What about all these other databases you're driving information and all these databases like that? If somebody had access to those databases, they would be unlimited in making a profile of who George Norrie was, what his habits are, what his purchases are, and, you know, it gets...
I ran a funny clip of a guy ordering a pizza, and we had it up on the website for a couple days, and it was hilarious. It was a spoof, but really not too much of a spoof, Roger, because the guy calls in for a pizza. She knows where he's calling from, where he lives, what he's doing. She's monitoring what his cholesterol is. She refuses to give him the kind of pizza he wants unless he pays a premium for it, because his health care provider won't allow him to eat it. And it's just a whole litany of things. It's hilarious, but it's also going to be true.
Absolutely. Let's go back to George Orwell for a second. I'm going to read something else from 1984. He says here, even the Catholic Church of the Middle Ages was tolerant by modern standards. Part of the reason for this was that in the past, no government had the power to keep its citizens under constant surveillance. The invention of print, however, made it easier to manipulate public opinion, and the film and the radio carried the process further. With the development of television, of course, keep in mind his version of television is what we have with computers kind of in and out both. And the technical advance, which it made possible to receive and transmit simultaneously on the same instrument, private life came to an end. Every citizen, or at least every citizen important enough to be worth watching, could be kept for 24 hours a day under the eyes of the police and in the sound of official propaganda, with all other channels of communication closed. Pretty prophetic, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And they're going to move also. Don't they have the ability now to listen through your house? And I'm not talking about the big ears that you see in football games. Don't they have the opportunity to hear people talking in their house right now?
Well, not only is that is there potential for that, but of course, they're coming up with X-ray vision right up with what Superman used to have, where not only can you look through people's clothes, but you can just drive by their homes and turn on different depth levels of visualization. But let me tell you about one other threat that we just came up with, which is really shocking. In the past few months, I ran into this cell phone, and I'm just going to give you a little scenario of how it works. Let's say that you and I decide to go have lunch somewhere, and then we go to a restaurant.
All right.
We sit down, and you put your cell phone on the table.
Okay.
Now, you have had that cell phone in your possession since you bought it 2 weeks ago at Verizon. Never left your hands. That cell phone, as we have a conversation, starts listening to our conversation, and it takes the conversation into its database. In other words, it has memory, and it takes everything that we're saying and puts it into memory. And it compresses it down, and after 15 minutes, even though we're looking at the phone and it looks like it's just sitting there waiting for a call.
Sitting there, yeah. I haven't hit my send button or anything.
No,
I think it's on, but I didn't think it was. All right.
Yeah, right. It will go online and make a covert call and send the compressed version of our conversation to a hidden listening post where it's downloaded and decompressed.
What? This is real?
This is real, and the spyware that made it work came right through the cell system. You didn't have to take it. Nobody had to take the phone from you to put the spyware in it. That spyware was downloaded through the cell system into the phone, and now that phone is a fly on the wall.
Now, when you say the spyware, are you saying that this is being done with the approval of the cell phone company? Or is this being done by some hacker in some group?
The cell phone company has no idea it's taking place.
Ah, okay.
You have entities at government levels that have the ability to move software into your phone. Now, don't forget, cell phones now, especially with their video capabilities and other internet somewhat capabilities, have now moved into having very large memories in them. So they're quite a bit like your laptop computer where you have a Wi-Fi card. I'm assuming you have a computer and a Wi-Fi card. You know that you can fully not only fully link to the internet with a Wi-Fi card, but you can download programs.
That's right.
Okay, well, just think about your phone as being a very similar structure, and that if I'm able to get dialed into your phone through the cell system, I can download this spyware. And that spyware, once it's in your phone, will take down everything going on in the room and report it back. It'll burst it back in about a 30-second transmission to a location where it can be decoded back into full conversation.
That's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And the only thing that you can do is pull the batteries out of your cell phone. Because if your cell phone's on and this spyware is in the phone, everything that's going on around it can be going out.
How many people are being monitored right now this way? What do you think?
Well, if it's being done by an NSA-type entity, it could end up being thousands. When you consider the data mining that we've talked about with vacuum cleaning the ISP lines and the switches and the communication companies, they're vacuum cleaning millions and millions of calls daily.
Wouldn't this be considered illegal wiretapping, even though there's no wire involved?
Well, it would be illegal if I was the one that put the software in your phone. But if the software that went into your phone went by some covert agency under secret...
Under the guise of national security,
under the
right?
guise of national security. There is no checks and balances anymore.
We're losing it all.
Terribly.
Here's the problem, though, Roger. I think it's unstoppable. Because nobody's stopping it now. It's going to just get bigger and bigger and bigger. It'll be too late to stop it.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I do, especially since they've now set aside habeas corpus. I don't know whether you saw the newspaper that the Supreme Court rebuffs appeal by Padilla. They just decided that a U.S. citizen who was arrested in this country for suspected ties to terrorism can be held indefinitely without charges in a trial. So if they decide tomorrow that George Norrie's a terrorist, you're gone.
Off I go.
You can't file a habeas corpus saying, in 72 hours, bring me before a judge because that's my constitutional Sixth Amendment right. They just suspended it.
And the whole push here, I think, and it's important for everybody to understand that, is that these powers one day will get in the hands of some truly unscrupulous people who will abuse it to no end. Even though it could be abused now, it has the perception of being needed for terrorism and to be able to fight that. But eventually, you're going to find someone like a Hitler, and we're done.
Well, you know, part of what disturbs me about it is that the way the government is operating, they are operating to not for self-preservation. You know, when you look at the Patriot Act and you're looking at these things that have happened here in the past year that since we've talked, you're looking at a government that's entrenching itself such that nothing is going to get in its way.
And here is the big question then, Roger. What is it after? What does it really want? What's the end result here?
Well, I think as far as the corporations and the government as it sits, world control relating to all assets and all commodities. The New World Order.
They want that. And then in our particular case, they want us to march along like little lambs.
Well, that's the way it's going. And, of course, most people are terribly distracted by their own personal situation. You know, people are struggling. They're buying houses for $700,000 to $1 million. And their main struggle is to be able to afford a home these days. So I think, you know, a lot of this other stuff gets by people because they're struggling.
Roger, when we come back, let's talk about electronic harassment. A lot of people think that they're getting beamed with microwaves. I want to get your take on all that. Roger Tulsis, his website, bugsweeps.com. It's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Might want to go and take a look at it because he's always got, as I said earlier, some very interesting and fascinating things there. You can also take a look at some of the equipment that he has used and some of his work, where he has basically swept more than 2,500 locations and uses well over $100,000 worth of high-tech equipment to identify the sources of this electronic harassment, which is what we'll talk about when we come back on Coast to Coast AM.